the Danny Lakey Show's Miracle Multi.
Well, a lot of people interested to see if the Danny Lakey Show Miracle Multi managed to get up over the weekend. On Thursday, we talked you through the insect, also known as the six-leg multi. Selected by the Danny Lakey Multi Show crew, Aussie Rules Aaron, Doesn't Miss Chris, the NRL expert, Frat Boy Daz, who loves American college football. We've also got Big Bets Brett on board now with his
first time as well.
Well, with his can't miss horse racing tip, plus the wild card, aka me, putting down a crazy bet to really beef up the stakes. We put $75 down on this six-leg multi. If it got up, we would have scored ourselves $6,485. That's
not
a lot
bad.
Of dough. A lot of dough. Let me talk you through the multi. On Thursday night, Friday morning, the wild card put down a sneaky bet at $1.68 for the Kings 11 Punjab and Mumbai Indians to hit the first boundary to the offside of the field. They said it had never happened. It happened. One leg down in the multi.
Fluke from you, wild card. That's your first win of the last 4 weeks
calculated
or so.
Calculated risk. The wild card strikes again. Get around me.
Finally.
Doesn't miss Chris, the NRL expert, who has not missed a tip. He has 100% success rate. Said that the Canberra Raiders should beat the Sharks. It was a pretty easy tip. It paid $1.15. It juiced up the multi. It got over the line. 2 out of 6. Now, Frat Boy Daz, who loves the American college ball, said, although the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes are the underdogs against the UCF Knights, they will only lose by less than 21.5. Have them at the line at $1.85. He knows his stuff. The Tulsa Golden Hurricanes not only covered the line, they performed one of the biggest upsets of the season. They won. The bet won. The multi's looking juicy. 3 from 6. Then we have Big Bets Brett with his cannot lose horse racing tip over the weekend. The Tab Turnbull Stakes, $4.80, very elegant to win. Who came across the line? Very elegant.
I knew Big Brett was going to pull through for us.
4 from 6. All that was left was Aussie Rules Aaron, who is in charge of one AFL tip and one horse racing tip for the weekend.
A lot of pressure from him. Two bets here.
Said that Richmond would beat Brisbane between 1 to 39 at $2.10. Did not happen. Killed the bloody multi. Not to mention Lord Belvedere to place at Flemington in race 6. Did not run in the first 4.
That's 2 from him. How's the wild card as the boss feeling about this?
Look, it's very simple. The writing's on the wall. If it were not for Aussie Rules Aaron and his AFL and horse racing tip this weekend, we would have collected big at the tab.
Azza.
He's got some good history. I'm not going to fire him. I'm not going to go trigger happy just yet. If you're listening, AFL Aaron, you're on notice.
Watch out.
You sure as hell wouldn't want to take a step foot wrong this coming weekend. Our next, Samantha X. For Sexy Mondays. That'll be fun. Going to chat about condoms and cheating.
What's happening?
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
And I guess we're all in a state of grieving right now. Late Friday afternoon is when the official news broke. An official statement from Sizzler revealing that its remaining 9 restaurants across the country would close permanently by November 15. Yeah, unfortunately, the parent company Collins Foods cited COVID-19 impacts as one of its primary reasons. I mean, to be honest, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Sizzler has been struggling for many years now. I trace it back to 2006 with the rat poisoning incident at a Toowong Brisbane Sizzler franchise.
What? Did it get into the food?
Some psycho went around the buffet putting rat poison in different bits and then struck at multiple locations and
How
put people right off the buff.
Ruin the cheese toasty for everyone.
I blame psycho rat poison woman.
Yeah, so do I, Lakey.
The buffet never quite bounced back. Now, they tried numerous things. They tried breakfast buffet. They tried your drive-thru. They tried your takeaway Sizzler buffet. But unfortunately, people have long memories. And only the diehards would then frequent Sizzler. Slowly, one by one, they started falling. We now are only left with 5 stores in Queensland. I particularly like the Rockhampton and the Broadbeach Sizzler buffets. Just the seating arrangement, the air temperature, the ambiance.
You know, I've never been Lakey.
Yeah, I know.
So I can't really join in on the memories. But I'm going to say if I had been, I would have been a cheese toast kind of gal.
Well, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
I know. I'm disappointed in myself, just as you're disappointed in me.
Earlier on today, I tried to say, hey, you ever been to the Campbelltown Sizzler in Sydney? The only one remaining in New South Wales. He said, no. I said, well, what about suburban Perth? You ever been to the Innaloo Sizzler? He said, no. No, none of that. I said, what about Toowong back in the day? Where the old rat poison started.
No, nothing.
And as a casual dining concept, unlike Collin Foods' other wings of KFC and Taco Bell, Sizzler revenues of earnings, they just have been on the decline, and they had to make an important decision. And unfortunately, Sizzler will be no more. And look, it was an important part of my life. It may not have been an important part of your life, Shuey Louie, but it bloody well should have. And I guess on 133 53, what's your Sizzler memories? For your Monday memories, anyone who wants to get a final word in before the buffet restaurants close forever on November 15.
What's your Sizzler story?
Sizzler story on 133 53, because hell no, I've just wanted to vent all day with fellow Sizzler aficionados how every Christmas Eve, me and my family would make a tradition that we would go to Sizzler. We would engorge on the buffet, and then we would go gold class and watch a seasonal movie every Christmas Eve.
Why would you do that just before Christmas? You'd be so full from your Christmas Eve Sizzler.
Stretches the stomach lining for the Christmas lunch the next day.
It was what was your go-to?
Oh, what wasn't my go-to? We would start with the cheese toast, knowing full well that it was there as a decoy to try and fill the customer up so that they didn't lose money on the buffet. We were none the wiser. It was a family of five. There were six pieces of cheese toast. We all had half a slice each.
Perfect.
Just a nice little stomach lining.
Save room for the expensive.
Mm-hmm. I would then always fall victim to the menu of the fantastic juicy steaks and the seafood on offer. I was known to order the reef and beef, the surf and turf, the land and sand, with your garlic prawns and your premium steak.
Oh, yeah.
That, of course, would be cooking. I should start my assault on the buffet with a DIY Caesar salad. Strange choice, I hear you say, but it was, once again, a tradition. It was set up to do your own Caesar salad, correct ratios of parmesan, croutons, bacon pieces, cos lettuce, etc. Once I finished my DIY Caesar salad, I knew it was time to move on to the hot food. I'm talking the potato scallops.
Oh, I love potato scallops.
And the chili con carne were some of the big hitters.
Some beans.
Oh, absolutely.
You would have had farting on Christmas Day.
Oh, yes. It was a very windy Christmas afternoon. And once the hot food was done, then the main would come. You'd have your reef and beef, your surf and turf, your land and sand. You'd be full, but you knew there was one more chance at a big old salad plate before you moved on to the desserts. Think your tiramisus, your chocolate mousses, your raspberry jellos and ice creams. And then, once you were about to roll out of the store, me and my dad, every Christmas Eve, without fail, would look at each other and go, I think we've got room for one more piece of bread and butter pudding.
Whoa! Take me back!
You little porkers.
Take me back! Sizzler traditions. Did you smuggle some food out of Sizzler? What were your tactics? Any promotional salads you remember? A childhood vomit? Sizzler stories. 133 53.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Sizzler stories. It's closing down.
What's your Sizzler story?
I just want to get on 133 53. The Sizzler aficionados, those who have sizzled over the years. Childhood sizzles, adulthood sizzles, late night sizzles, Christmas Eve sizzles on 133 53, because all nine remaining stores will be closed this November 15. Pay one more visit to the old Sizzle Town. It's the least that we can do. And by hook or by crook, I'll get there for one final piece of cheese toast. I like to suck the butter off the cheese toast. That was always a bit of fun, seeing if you could suck any of the dregs off. Andrew in Geelong, you like sucking the butter off the cheese toast?
Yeah, something like that, mate.
Yes.
I used to travel with a bit of a travelling circus, if you will, spattering for a few pro motocross and supercross guys back in the early 90s.
Nice.
Sizzler was their staple, mate. Every night, it'd be one town or the other, or sometimes the same town, multiple nights, one after another. The boys had a bit of a habit of going in there, loading up as much as they could, because all being on a budget and travelling and living out of vans. We used to go in there, load completely up, and then the boys have a habit of bringing those Chinese containers in and loading it up with all the pasta for the carbs in the morning.
Oh yeah.
And literally take out backpacks full of fruit. Yeah. The fruit bowl would be empty by the time we left. So
great.
The boys lived a pretty comfortable life off the back of Sizzler.
Well, it was the Sizzler lifestyle. And some people will be saying,
stealing from Sizzler, the lifestyle.
Hey, some people would say, don't steal fruit from Sizzler. I say, who on earth is eating the fruit but in the four walls of Sizzler? Like, it's just going to rot otherwise. No one's going there. Oh, what should I have first? The cheese toast or the honeydew? Like, this is meant to be taken to sustain Krusty Demons and other motorcycle franchises post-buffet. That's just the way it was back then.
Yeah, when the boys are living on sort of $15, $20 a day, you know, trying to get to the next event, it's a pretty tough lifestyle, and they had to make the best they could. So, you know, $12.95 all you could eat or whatever it might have been.
You just couldn't go wrong. You could not go wrong with a good old sizzle. Thanks, Andrew. Just by calling through, you will get yourself entered into the Bachelorette sweepstake. First man to cry on the Bachelorette. If that is your sweepstake, you score yourself a case of beer. Sarah in Botany. Hello.
Oh, hey guys. I got plenty of Sizzler stories, but probably the tradition from my childhood, we used to go to the Campbelltown one for anyone and everyone's birthday. And at the end of the meal, you'd fill up a plate of soft serve and add whatever you could to it, dessert stuff, savory, even those little plastic bacon bits. Mix it all up into some disgusting mess, and the person whose birthday it was had to eat it.
Well, it's the birthday tradition. Sizzling Sarah is what they call her, and it was absolutely correct. It was a rite of passage. It was a coming of age. Every 12-year-old kid, they were sick as a dog already, full up with ice cream, then you make one final concoction. And you'd be eager, please. I mean, you're there with your mates, you bond, you don't forget those moments. And even if you added something as bitter and as heinous as, say, a Dolmart to the soft serve ice cream, you would still definitely get it down one way or another.
Yeah.
Oh, great story. I mean, I'm tearing up, and it's rare that I do so. Thank you, Sarah. You'll be in the Bachelorette sweepstake as well, just for sharing your sizzle memory. Brownie in Browns Plains. Hello.
Hello, champion. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. You're a sizzler from way back.
Mate, I remember it opening at Maroubra in the eastern suburbs of Sydney way back in 86 or something. Like, it was way back. And I've gone the full circle now where my eldest boy, who's 11 now, loves the sizzler and took him there for his 11th birthday last year. So,
well, this is exactly right. It's one of those fatherhood traditions that you need. You'll teach your boy how to shave in due course, and you'll teach your boy how to fill up one of those small mugs of minestrone with a massive ladle and make sure nothing spills over the sides. That's
I
just
think
what
there's probably
do.
A few other things as father you do before the sizzler.
Rule number one, always teach your boy how to ladle the soup correctly into the soup bowl. Any particular favourites, any promotional salads, Brownie, over the years, or something that you would go to first without fail?
Mate, the cheesy bread, you can't go past it. But I got the scoop the other night. I heard it somewhere or listened to it somewhere on a television program, and it's Parmesan cheese and butter. That is the scoop on cheesy bread.
Yeah, heard you loud and clear, Major Tom. And we've actually done on the radio show before. We have tried to make our own sizzler cheesy bread. Very replicaic, just missing a slight edge. And I think it's all fun and games to have the cheeses. What people forget about when trying to recreate a cheesy bread is what bread are you using? We elected a standard Wonder White. It just seemed to miss the mark. And don't you worry, good sir. Before November 15, we will be aiming to get the CEO of Sizzler on the phone to finally reveal once and for all the official cheesy bread recipe. We hadn't talked about it before, but write it on the board, Shoey Louie. Yeah. And you're in the Bachelor sweepstakes.
Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Our biggest news to break over the weekend, apart from Sizzler inevitably closing down across 9 stores, was Donald Trump contracting coronavirus. I mean, you can't make this up, can you? Immediately, once the tweets and the news and the text messages started flowing through, people just lost their mind. It was one of those you remember where you were moments when you realised that ultimately the man who was sort of shunned this disease and almost just blasted it off has ironically caught it, and every media outlet in the country was onto it straight away. And good thing about like Nine News or Channel 7 News or the ABC or something, usually they're pretty reputable with their facts. Sometimes there'll be a little bit of bias involved, but usually they'll only tell the facts. But there was one media outlet that struggled to add any mayo to this story because it was just so unbelievable just the way it was.
Meanwhile, at the Daily Mail, news of Donald Trump has editors scratching their heads as to how to make an article that is already batshit crazy any more crazy.
Okay, guys, so we need the next best, slightly embellished, slightly exaggerated, slightly inaccurate, clickbait-worthy story. Any ideas?
Brad and Angelina back together again.
Bindi Irwin's actually pregnant with triplets.
Well, how about Grant Denyer gets leg extension surgery?
No, no, no. It's all been done before. We need something groundbreaking, something crazy. Something so incorrect that our dumbass readers will lap it up like hot soup. Come on!
Donald Trump has coronavirus.
Oh, yes, yes, excellent. I love it. How do we not think of this sooner?
No,
get cracky struck.
Literally, Donald Trump has coronavirus.
My God. You know what this means.
Yeah, we can publish something crazy and true.
Right, get cracking. Get cracking. I want a big headline. Get it online and printed now. You know what? We need an edge. Just say sources have also hinted Melania has COVID-19 as well.
She does. It's been confirmed. They both have COVID.
Oh, damn it. Well, chop up some audio to make it sound like Trump mocked Biden at the debate about wearing a mask all the time.
He did. We literally have the unedited audio.
Well, say that it comes days after Trump refused a free mask by a doctor at the presidential debate then.
That actually really did happen. So far, all we have is straight up fact.
Oh my God. Think. Get everyone scared. And just say Donald Trump threw Make America Great Again hats into the crowd days before testing positive.
That story is already online. It also happened.
I don't understand. It's unprecedented. You mean we don't have to add any mayo whatsoever?
It appears not. We literally cannot add anything more unbelievable to this 100% correct story.
What about we say that it's rumoured to have been passed on to Melania after Donald borrowed Melania's fake tanning lotion?
Oh, print it. Yeah. And say Baron Trump caught it too, and he's reportedly on a ventilator.
Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
On 133.53, something life-changing happened over the weekend for me. And I'm a little rough around the edges, there's no doubt, but I have always been a brands man. I have always been someone who shopped at Woolies, the fresh food people, making sure that I get my palm olives, my Paul Newman's vinaigrettes. The big brand, the leader in that product, I'm purchasing for the extra price. Unfortunately, that's just the way it's been. And for the first time over the weekend, it's a bit embarrassing because I would have lost touch with the common man. I, for the first time, went to Aldi. Get around there.
Bit of an Aldi guy now.
Let me tell you, I liked what I saw. I mean, the layout's a little confusing. It's where nappies and marmalades can roam free together, it seems.
There's no sit. Area for things.
There's no real order to Aldi, but
no spreads for spreads.
No, it's part of the appeal though. It's just all over the shop. They've got the Aldi special buys where you have like coat hangers next to like a terracotta pot. There'll be like eight pairs
just
of socks for $3.
Just all the rules out the window for a supermarket.
All the rules out the window.
Don't mind that. It's very 2020.
It was chaos in there. And I bought myself a non-alcoholic beer. I bought myself a couple of packs of crisps and cheap Pringles and that sort of thing. The thing that really got me, and because I needed some new body wash, and for years I've been a Lynx guy. I'll always buy your classic Lynx, your Lynx Africa, your Lynx Accelerate body gels, the scrubs, and I've always thought they're a bit globby. And just perchance, I was in Aldi, and I saw an absolute bargain. It was a whole 1 litre tub, it's like bottle with the squeegee thing on top of Juliet Body Hydrating Sea Kelp and Lemon Peel Shower Gel.
Sounds divine. Very gourmet.
Well, it has infused jojoba oil. It has moisture beads. It's paraben free. And it's Australian made.
That's what you want.
I thought, I'll give it a go. It's $2 for a litre. I mean, this is about probably 500% more of a saving than what I'm getting down at Woolies with the Coles, with the Lynx stuff.
You say $2 for a litre.
$2 for a litre of the
that
Juliet body wash.
An absolute bargain.
I waited until the next day to bust my Juliet cherry gave it a couple of squeezes. And let me tell you, this lathers up like a body wash. I have never felt the sensation of before.
The way it spreads, the way it foams up.
You only need a small bit. You can feel the jojoba oil moisturising your skin. It was the best value $2 I'd ever spent. And I'll use this for the next 4 years.
How does your skin feel out of the shower?
Baby soft.
Soft. Baby yeah, smooth. Baby's bum.
Milky comes to mind.
Milky skin.
Milky soft skin. And I thought all these years, I mean, I'm 31 on Wednesday. All these years I've been falling for the plastic pantomime, all the brand names, making sure that I've got all the superior expensive products when they've been under my nose the whole time. And on 133353, what do you buy that's the cheaper brand?
You've got gas in the tank. You've got money in the bank. But even so, what do you buy that's the cheaper brand?
Because this isn't a poverty thing. This isn't someone who's trying to cut costs for the sake of cutting costs. I've got enough cash. I'm a single man. I don't have any expenses. But it's the concept. It's the theory. So, no longer will I fall victim to Kellogg's cornflakes. I mean, what's wrong with a bit of Dick Smith Promite from time to time? Are there cheaper brands out there? Your black and gold muesli bars over your Uncle Toby's. Who says that Uncle Toby rules the roost? Not me anymore. Not me anymore.
You know what I do?
Cheap brands.
I love me a Coles hummus. $1.90 Coles hummus.
You're not going for the big brands.
Nah. Straight for the Coles. It's delicious.
Nice.
It's not too creamy.
Nice.
$1.90.
There we go. $1.99 for the
Does the trick with my carrot sticks.
133353. I'm a changed man. I shun brands these days. What's the cheaper alternative that you go for? Can't lose. 133353.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
What do you buy that's the cheaper brand?
You've got gas in the tank. You've got money in the bank. But even so, what do you buy that's the cheaper brand? Savings.
And this isn't just about savings. This isn't just about making sure that the pennies remain fickle and doing it out of poverty. These are just people that say, hey, you know what? No longer shall I fall victim to the generic brand. Just because it's a better well-known and overpriced brand doesn't necessarily mean it's the best. I learned a very important lesson over the weekend with my Juliet body wash, hydrating sea kelp and lemon peel shower gel. It spreads better. It's easier on the skin. It's because I smell a lot better. I've been passing people in the street saying, is that sea kelp? Yes, it
they
is.
They have it.
They say, that's great, mate. That's great.
I think also it's good for you. I think you've grown out of the links.
Yeah, I have.
I think you're ready for something a bit more mature.
I am. I'm a Juliet body wash kind of guy.
You are.
I'm 133353. No longer shall we fall victim to the big brands. I'm going to go out and buy the whole Dick Smith range now. I'm going to give Dick Smith Promite a go instead of Vegemite. Dick Smith Promite.
Oh, no, stick. You've got to stick to the veg.
There we go. See?
Nah.
There's that old school chat.
Thing I won't allow.
That Dick Smith Promite. Never shun Dick is what I've learnt. I'm going to give it all. Going to give it a go.
Excuse me.
Alex in Sydney on 133353. What's the cheaper brand that you swear by?
I buy the Audi laundry liquid. It's $1.50 for 2 litres, and it's better than paying $10 at the competitor.
Now, I like the savings. Like we said, it's not just a poverty-stricken savings phone topic. Do you find that the product is as high, if not a better quality, than your standard Sards, White Kings?
I wouldn't say it's better than, but it holds up and it does me. And by the way, it's also my birthday this Wednesday, so happy birthday.
Wow, both 7th of October, babies.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But I got a bit more on you.
Yeah, a little bit more. But, I mean, if you believe in horoscopes, technically we have the exact same personality. So happy birthday to us. Graham, 133353. Hello.
How you going, mate?
Good. You sound like a savvy saver, but you will not budge on quality.
Well, it depends on the quality, but nah, mate. Like, when it comes to lubricant, and you probably can relate to this,
yes, I can.
You can go to a sex shop. You pay $20 for a bottle of, you know, like KY jelly. Mm. You can go to Coles and get Ansell, personal lubricant for $6.
Great. savvy saving. I've always thought those
savings. And it's It actually works better, yeah. I'll tell you that.
No, I know. And I was going to say, those KY jelly anal guys, they're getting ripped off. They are absolutely being taken for a ride. Ancel, man, through and through.
Cheap as Ancel for KY.
About $14 cheaper.
Wow. About 40. There you go.
And it glides. And I think that's what the lady next door uses as well.
Yeah.
Jenny in Glen Orchy, hello.
Hello, Denny.
Hello. You are someone who's a savvy saver, but you're also a stickler for high quality stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes and no. This product is as good as anything else, and it's cheaper. It's under a dollar. Well, actually, it's under $2. Okay. I like to buy the home brand toilet rolls single.
Yeah, nice.
And I normally get about four, so that lasts me. That can last me for a good month.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, wow, not a frequent toilet user, Jen.
Well, I'm just doing the maths.
No, well,
here.
I am, but and I'm not skimpy, but they go a lot. One of those goes a lot further than your nicer, fluffier, thicker ones.
Well, yeah, it's a thinner ply, isn't it? So you get more bang for buck.
If you go cheap on toilet paper, with the ply.
Yeah, but you know, Jenny likes some people. Sometimes you sacrifice a little comfort over feel. The thinner the ply, the more control you have over the wipe. Not to get too deep into Jenny's toilet habits, but I'm assuming she's a folder, not a scruncher. Another classic savvy move.
Yeah, I like to fold.
And she likes to fold. She likes to feel it the whole way through.
Okay, this is a bit too much for me.
Thanks,
of Jenny's toilet habits.
Cheers, Jenny. Michael on 133353. Wrap this up.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. What's the cheaper brand?
Coles brand of up the back in the bakery section, the cookies.
Well, the Coles cookies.
Oh, they are outstanding.
Good. Okay. Talk us through prices, because I know my Cadbury cookies, and I'm pretty stubborn.
I've nearly bought every sort there. I got these ones last week, and I made in Byron Bay, but like they were like $3.50 each or something.
Oh, no.
And they were disgusting. Like,
take that, Byron Bay. The Coles cookies have you covered.